Hello everybody, welcome back to the O Jogo Bonito podcast. Today we are doing a WCFC, Wellington College Football Club, First 11 special. I'm joined by Vice-Captain Jack. How are you doing today, Jack?
Very good. How are you, JK?
I'm doing amazingly. So, what's been going on with the First 11 this term?
Well, I think we've had a pretty... I mean, compared to last season, we've had a strong start to the season. We've played 5, won 3, lost 2. So we kind of had... We had a run of 3 wins. We had a loss at the very beginning of the season, which kind of wasn't too much of a... We didn't have Linus 4, so we were kind of getting used to the team and stuff like that. So that was kind of... it wasn't too bad. And then we just had a loss last game, 3-1, but we were holding on to that 1-0 lead for about 70-75 minutes, and you just kind of had 3 goals that were just kind of lapses in confidence, and suddenly it's 3-1. But it's very, very good vibes around the team. Very good, it's a very strong team, and we're looking to kind of take that forward to through to the next games.
Under new management as well, I think you've got a new head of football, so... talk about how the season, specifically in certain games, how it's gone. How do you think it's going to be for the rest of the term, and looking forward to the Lent term?
So new management. We've got a new head of football. So kind of there is a definite system that we're kind of following now. So everyone kind of seems to know their roles and seems to know what their position means. So it's definitely a clearer vision. It means that we are... There's definitely like, if someone's made an error, you can kind of see what error they have made, because you can see what happened. But also there's kind of, when we are under the cosh or we're losing and stuff like that, we still know that we can go back to playing the system. We can go back to passing quick in between players and playing it wide and stuff like that. And it's paid off. We scored 15 in 5 games, so quite a lot of goals. We haven't conceded too many. We've conceded, we've got 2 clean sheets and 5, conceded 5 or 6. So it's been pretty good, good football. Yeah.
So obviously you're the first team goalie and vice captain. So when you're on the pitch, obviously you could see everything. What are the things that you think the team are doing really well, and what are the things technique that the team could improve on in the following games?
I think as a team, doing very... I've said we know the formation, so we're playing our formation. We're not kind of looking at the other team's formation and kind of trying to adapt to that. So we're making it difficult for the other teams to kind of play how they want to play. I think, yeah, being at the back, kind of being able to talk to defenders, making sure they know where, if they've got excess men, if they've got an extra man, so the wing back can drop in and stuff like that, or whether they're in the right place, so I can kind of move them around. It's quite helpful to be able to talk to the players, but also have Linus, who's captain, on the pitch, so that he can kind of talk to everyone, kind of keeping their heads up, or being able to talk to the ref quite easily. So having us two kind of talking to the whole team the whole time is helpful. And you have lots of kind of big players on the pitch who are willing to talk and stuff like that. And you got some good personalities in there as well. So
any standout performances? Any standout moments for you so far this season?
I mean, we got some we've had some really good goals. Come to mind straight away is that kind of half volley just goes into a corner.
We've had some standout moments in terms of goals, assists. What do you want from the next games, from the season as a whole? What do you personally want to take out from it?
I feel like myself and the team, we just want to keep winning games. I think to have a good cup run would be nice, but it's a difficult cup, and we just take it one game at a time in there. In terms of friendlies, just keep on winning those, keep on ticking on through the game, so then we can kind of build up something going into the league next season. In terms of the league, we want to be looking to kind of get top. Well, I mean, obviously aiming to win, but getting up around the top. Last year we were fairly close to the top, but we did drop points and certain games where maybe we shouldn't have and stuff like that. So,
and speaking of the cup, you're playing, as the podcast has been recorded, you're playing Latimer Upper tomorrow at home. Talk to me about how do you think that game's going to go? What do you think the team should be wary of? Have you done any opponent scouting?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because it's not a team we've ever played before. But they're from London, and generally your kind of schools from London are quite good. We played a team that kind of plays them regularly last year, and we did lose in the ESFA Cup to them. So I'd be interested to see. I think the first 5-10 minutes will set the tone for the game. So it's kind of making sure that we're on it from then, and then we can kind of, if we can play our football, it doesn't really matter who we're playing. But yeah, it'd be interesting.
Looking to dominate the ball, trying to limit chances and score goals. Would you say that the Wellington College first 11's philosophy is to outscore the opponent, or is it to dominate possession? Is it to limit chances? How would you define the club's playing philosophy?
I think the playing philosophy is to kind of have not kind of limit anything like that or stuff like that. It's kind of keep the ball, make sure we're creating the chances so that we can score the goal at some point. By keeping the ball, you are limiting chances. And I think because we have quite a strong back line, if we do lose the ball, there is kind of this reliability where actually defenders will kind of do their job and make sure we're not, I'm not facing that many shots. I mean, the best way the game could go for me is I don't have to make many saves. If I could just play with my feet the whole game, and I think the defense have done what they need to do, the midfield have done what they need to do, and like everyone's done what they need to do, I think we look to keep up the press as long as possible, like from the very top, so they're under pressure a lot. So we kind of, if we can outplay them in terms of energy and stuff like that, it means we can play our football properly. So yeah.
And would you say that as a goalkeeper, you enjoy having the ball at your feet, starting attacks? And I mean, I've played in many different positions in football. I have played in goal as well many, many moons ago. But how would you say as a goalkeeper, you keep your concentration, especially where you don't face many shots? And do you have any role models within the current game or of legends past in that goalkeeping role?
I think in terms of staying on it during the game, you just got to keep on talking. If you keep on talking, you're constantly kind of analysing where players are, where the ball is, making sure you're kind of where you should be in terms of the ball and the goal, so in between there. I think it's always hard with role models in goalkeeping because the goalkeeper has changed so much over time. Like goalies, kind of your great goalies of the past haven't been that good with their feet. Kind of, it seems to be going more and more. The goalie needs to be as good as the outfield players at playing with their feet, so then they can play from the back, quick stuff from the back, and also hit players like playing over the top in the corner. So it's kind of, I think like players like you see players like stuff like Aaron Ramsdale now, who actually aren't the greatest shot stoppers out there, but technically with their feet, they're like, they could play like high level football outfield. So it's kind of, it seems to be that's the way the goal is going. So it's, if you got to make sure you're staying switched on so that when you're playing your feet, it's to the man or in front of the man so they can run onto it and stuff like that. So you just keep the ball ticking and stuff like that.
Aside from height, would you say that being a goalkeeper, it's more about the mental attributes you have in comparison to the physical? Obviously, you need to be good with the ball on your feet in the modern game. But would you say having the right mental attributes is as important, if not more important, for a goalkeeper?
I mean, mental attributes definitely massive. You've got to kind of be like weirdly kind of just stupid, if that makes sense, because like to kind of dive at people's feet and like jump in front of balls, which are going quite quick when you get to proper high levels, you're going to get injured and stuff like that. So you got to be prepared to get injured, but also you got to be like quite resilient, because there are going to be moments where you make one mistake and it will be a goal. Like I think lots of, you see strikers, if a striker does miss a goal, it's oh, we reset, we get into get ready for a goal kick, there will be another chance like that. It's kind of a goalie, if a goalie's done really well and got a clean sheet, they've made no mistakes, or they've made a couple mistakes, but they've been mistakes in areas where actually they missed a kick or something like that. So it's kind of, you've got to be prepared to make mistakes. If you know you're gonna make mistakes, but if you accept that there will be mistakes, then you kind of, the confidence stays high. It's kind of when your confidence drops low, then it's really hard. But but there's also, like, you can't argue that you can't argue that someone who has good mental attributes but doesn't have the ability to make those kind of really quick reaction saves and stuff like get move around their goal quick enough, there's definitely a balance, but I'd kind of push it more to the side of your ones with the quick reactions, and the ones that can actually make your good saves are kind of the ones who will be your proper goalie.
That's great insight to obtain, because as someone who from just sheer joy, who likes to play in goal and in seven-a-side games, I usually focus more on keeping the ball at my feet and just using my feet, because, well, ultimately, can't really dive much in a seven-a-side, and the goals aren't that big. So, talk to me, yeah. So we've got an idea of the season so far. Game coming up tomorrow. Any other games you're particularly looking forward to this term and even in the Lent term?
I mean, I haven't really looked forward that far. I don't know. In terms of the games, the other side of the half term, none of them that really are special. That, I think definitely when we go into next side of the next term, sorry, I always look forward to playing Marlborough. We've already faced them this term, but we've got them actually in the league where it kind of has more relevance. So I think I'll be looking to kind of get a result there. That'd be quite nice to get some points, because they did win the league as well last year. So they're kind of the big dogs. But other than that, I mean, I know we got like other tournaments coming up as well. So we've got like Isford Trophy and stuff like that. So those games are always good. I always love a cup game or basically a game that has like a proper meaning to it. But yeah.
And where do you rank the team's chances for, obviously you mentioned you wanted to aim to be the top of the league. You've played many of the schools in the leagues before. Where do you stand in terms of not only trying to go deep in the Isfa trophy, but also trying to win the league? And I think I may answer my own question, but pivoting slightly from it, as a goalie, if you look at the current game, not only in Europe but globally, how would you say that, are there any particular goalies you like at the moment, in terms of, are there any particular goalies you notice are struggling, and what advice would you give to young goalies out there? Ask many questions in one.
Yeah, big question, that one. Trying to think, I think you see players like in the professional league that are struggling, and it tends to be the ones who are kind of either a bit older, so who kind of aren't so adapt to new football, or just kind of ones that are on low confidence. I honestly think I've never been in professional football. I highly doubt it. Yeah. But if any footballer or any goalie wanted to get better, if you just keep on training and trying to out-train everyone else, you're always going to get better and you always improve. And then once you get to that point where, let's say you're in a team, no matter what team, and you are the best, you need to then push yourself and then push to everyone else to get to that level. And then that's kind of what... that's how I try and train and stuff like that. But it's not always easier. Sometimes you're tired. Sometimes you kind of, you don't want to train. It's just kind of pushing through that, making sure you hit the gym and stuff like that.
And do you think as a goalkeeper, my mind goes to the David De Gea, Dean Henderson situation, Keylor Navas, Donnarumma. As a number one, is it important that you feel like they're number one? Because obviously Ben Foster, who's ventured into the world of YouTube, has mentioned that a number one needs to feel like a number one, or do you think, do you encourage competition as your number two? Obviously you've got Charlie pushing you hard, so where are you on that? Do you fall on the side of the fence which states that having competition is good, or do you like feeling that number feeling like you know you're the number one each week?
I could definitely see both sides of it. I think you because you need this confidence to kind of play your football, but knowing you're number one and knowing you don't have to prove yourself every week is quite a nice feeling. But having the competition will always kind of push you to improve, and I think if you want to show that you are number one, you've got to go against proper competition, and it keeps you on your toes having that competition. I think I prefer having that kind of competition, that push next to you, to make sure you don't kind of have those weeks where you just kind of take your foot off and stuff like that. I think if you are a goalie who is a second choice, your job is to always kind of push yourself and push the other keeper to kind of either prove that you're better and you should be playing first, or kind of just push, like keep on pushing the number one. And then you see in teams, you always kind of have this number three goalie who is your kind of, what's his name?
Lee Grant, former United, Tom Heaton,
Scott Carson, stuff like that. It kind of, they are your kind of older heads. Like at school foot, you don't see it and stuff like that. But like in professional clubs, you see they will push their job is to kind of just train. So they're going to push your other two goalies hard because they know they haven't got that game at the end of the week and stuff like that. But they're also there to kind of give advice, because a lot of them are good footballers who have played at high levels kind of all over the different countries and stuff like that. So they can always kind of give their views and stuff like that. And it's always good to kind of take advice from other goalies, because you can either adapt your game or take parts that you like and leave out parts you don't like. So yeah.
In terms of the wider game in general, what are your thoughts on the Championship first and foremost? Obviously, you're a Reading fan, up the Royals. how are you perceiving their season? What do you think of their current season under Ince, Paul Ince?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because going into the season, it definitely felt like it was a kind of relegation scrap still. Like we're playing well. We've definitely got players who are enjoying playing and enjoying playing at home. Like in terms of all the chat out, I don't know, following the games on Saturday, but definitely last week we were top of the home games championship table. So we're really enjoying playing at home. We're struggling away. We had a couple games up in Yorkshire, a game in London where we've either been battered or haven't got the result. So it feels like it's not a season where we're going to end up in the promotion spots. We're not going to end up going up. But it's quite nice to not be in that bottom half yet, not be kind of scrapping for relegation like last season. So I feel like it's only a matter of time before we start to kind of fall back. I did think this going into a couple of weeks, this week of games, and we came up against Norwich in midweek, and we got a 1-0 draw against them, which a draw against Norwich, like it doesn't matter if you're home away, that's a good result. They are a yo-yo team. They have got their good players in there still. And then we went off to Loftus Roads and we're 1-0 up, but lost 2-1. So again, they're third place, but it would have been nice to kind of take 3 points or a point back to Reading. So it depends. We seem to be a team that always struggles with injury. I don't know why, but we've got a pretty fit squad right now. We got Zhao playing, who generally he gets injured 2-3 times a season. He's a top striker, but he gets injured so much. But we got Ince, who's playing well. Like we brought, I thought when he came in, he was only brought in because his dad's the manager, and it seemed like that to start with, but he's scoring goals and he's getting goals in games that are 1-0, so it's quite important. Lumley's playing fine. Like he's an interesting keeper, because he had a bit of a shocker last season, and he's come into a Reading goalie spot, which actually no one seems to be enjoying. It's quite a volatile position in terms of, like, we've probably had about 4 or 5 number one keepers in the last kind of 2.5 years. So
And speaking of which, we've got another guest. So this is a we've got Linus coming in. Do you pop your headphones and a mic? Glad for you, Abby, to join us, Linus. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you, JK?
I'm doing all right. So we were just talking about the first 11, talking about Reading, goalkeeping.
It's been a masterclass.
I like it.
So you play at the heart of the back three for the first 11. What are your roles? What do you like doing? And just summarise the season in your opinion.
Well, we've had an exceptional start to the season, actually, by our standards. So we went to Gordon's for the pre-season tournament and we ended up coming third in a tournament we probably should have won. We also have had a few cup fixtures. So we've got one tomorrow. We've already had one and we're in another cup, which we'll start playing at some time. Those have been going great, not been knocked out yet. Personally, I kind of just organise the team, play a few long balls here and there, as Jack can attest to. But no, I've really enjoyed it. Really, really good team chemistry. Lovely players, lovely relationships in the squad. So it's been great.
That's great to hear. And as someone who plays for the second 11, recently come back from injury, it's nice to hear that the first are getting on well, because ultimately you represent Wellington at the highest stage in schoolboy football. So I asked Jack the same question earlier. Any particular fixtures you're looking forward to for the rest of this term?
Yeah, well, we're really looking forward to tomorrow. That's against Latimer. That will be our second round of the cup. And then next term when we get into the league, quite a big fan of league play. I prefer cup runs, but leagues come a very close second to that. So when we get involved with the likes of Marlborough, the Oratory, Radley, Teddy's, those should be some great fixtures.
So you play at the heart of the back three. You've played in midfield before. I've played alongside you, so I can attest to the fact that he's great passing the ball out from the back, especially ball progression in terms of not only passing but dribbling as well. And you've got that languid style about you which just allows you to just breeze past players. So any players you modelled your game on, or any players you're a fan of who are a similar style to you in the modern game or in years gone past?
Well, if you play FIFA 23, I think I'd be lengthy as a body type, just for reference. When I'm playing in midfield, I always love a bit of Paul Pogba. I just think he's just class personified, really. But that kind of... not It's not that I look lazy, but I kind of do, just because of like my style of movement. Quite like Pogba in that fashion. When I'm at the back, try to be a bit less fancy, a bit more simple. I can't really think of any simple defenders. I'm much, much happier going with someone like who's trying to chase a long ball, so maybe a bit like Van Dijk in that respect. I tend to not get involved in too many 1v1s just because I'm not the quickest to change direction. So again, I couldn't tell you who that would be, but yeah, I don't really have a model player right now.
I've always rated Matt Hummels as a wonderful defender in terms of reading the play. He's not blessed with pace. He's blessed with a wonderful passing range, actually. His outside of the foot passes are a sight to behold. I would say that when I do see a bit of Matt Hummels, I do see also a bit of, in terms of dribbling and ball progression, a bit of Lisandro Martinez in there, but obviously different builds. Going out away from football, schoolboy football to be specific, you're a Spurs fan. How is that season going? Because we had Jacques on last week who delivered a very interesting insight into the Spurs' transfer window. How have you seen the season so far? And in terms of the Champions League, the league, obviously the crushing North London derby defeat, which I empathise with, by the way, because same weekend, United got demolished by Man City. So, yeah, just give a few thoughts.
Spurs, I never know what to think, really. If you look at us in the Champo, we've played, who's our group? We've got Marseille, we've got Sporting, we've got Eintracht Frankfurt. We beat Marseille.
And lost to Sporting and then drew
yeah, and then
Frankfurt.
We drew to Frankfurt. So, I mean, these are teams that we should really be beating if we want to challenge for Champions League semi-final, final, or if we want to push for that top four in the Prem. Because, I mean, even teams like Newcastle this year look incredible, and maybe they're the same-ish level as for Frankfurt or Sporting Lisbon. So if we aren't winning those games that we really need to, I think we might struggle for top four. There's the likes of Arsenal, City, Liverpool, if they gather a bit of steam, Chelsea. Everyone's in the mix. So not like the best start in the Champo, but the Prem has been really good. I think we've had one loss and two draws. I know we're in third, but I can't tell you the exact
stats. Your
unbeaten
record was lost against Arsenal, but... In general, from an outside perspective, from a Man United perspective, I've seen Spurs do really well and have that grit about them, which they didn't have under previous managers. I think Conte's really brought that. And in terms of Champions League, I think your group is akin to a Europa League group in terms of the quality of teams. So I think you've been blessed with that. And ultimately, I think you're playing Frankfurt tonight at home.
Yeah, Frankfurt, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
So we're... Any predictions for that game?
Having watched the away leg, which must have been last week or 2 weeks ago, I don't know what kind of team we're going to put out, because we should really be putting out a full-strength side. But the Prem is heating up at the moment, right? And we've got lots of fixtures coming pretty quick. I think there's still 10 to go before... the World Cup, and that's only a month and a few days, so it could be a bit of a B team, like rotate the wing backs, rotate maybe Højbjerg, maybe play change of formation like we did on the weekend. And if we do that, I don't know if we'll get a result. I mean, I don't expect us to lose first and foremost, but I don't think it would be like a 4-0. It would be more of a 2-1, bit of a slog. If we were to put out a full-strength side at home, I think clean sheet, a couple of goals. So I'm hopeful.
Frankfurt got a lot of injuries, actually. They're missing Knauf on loan from Dortmund, right wing back. Obviously lost Kostic in the summer. Their shining light this season has probably been Daichi Kamada, who's scored quite a few goals, the Japanese international. To be honest, I do see Spurs nicking it, perhaps, but also at the same time, I can also see another no-no. It's just the way the cookie crumbles. This brings me on... Funny you mentioned the World Cup. It's as if I planned this segue. What are your World Cup predictions? Because Mr. Ferguson and I did a World Cup predictions episode. Do check that out. What are your thoughts on the World Cup? How do you think England will do? How do you think the tournament will progress? And who do you think is going to win it?
England, losing Kyle Walker, Reece James and Trent. Slightly concerned about the depth at right back. Trippier, incredible, but where do you go past that?
Kyle Walker-Peters, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, Tino Livramento, maybe if he was fit. Jack, who do you reckon?
I just don't know. I really struggle to make prediction on this World Cup. Like every other kind of tournament, there seems to be like a big favourite, and England seemed to be the big favourite until kind of your last couple rounds of international fixtures, where we just look like it's either a side who doesn't care about playing for England or just a side that struggles against your kind of the nations that will be floating about in what's called in the World Cup. It's hard to not look at Brazil and say they're not going to do well, but I just don't know. I want England to turn up, and I want England to do what they like. The last couple of World Cups and Euros, they haven't played well going into it, and they do have players who turn up at tournaments. If like Pickford turns up, if like Trippier turns up, we could. It's interesting, but yeah.
Am I right in saying that it's only been South American and European countries to ever win a World Cup?
Probably yes. Right, yeah. Most definitely. And funny you mentioned Brazil. I think Brazil and Argentina are my outstanding favourites, going back to episode 2. What do you see? Because I think it's going to be a South America team that wins it.
That's what I was going to say. I think it's South American this year.
I just think Brazil haven't lost a fixture in 3 years. They haven't lost a fixture since the Copa America final.
That was last year?
Last year.
Argentina were the one on the run.
Yes. Di Maria getting that chip after the Renan Lodi era. Actually, funny enough, the same day as the Euros, the final of the Euros were, where Italy beat England on that fateful night. Before that, the last game they actually lost was the semi final of the World Cup against Belgium. So, I mean, they've got ridiculous amounts of depth in attacking areas, defensive areas. Only areas that I think they may be lacking is right back. I think they've got Danilo, but 39-year-old Dani Alves as a backup, perhaps. They might have Gilberto from Benfica. So, again, going back to England, because when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Who would you like Southgate to pick to replace not only those right backs, but there's a midfield injury crisis, I would say, or just crisis in general in terms of form. Who would you like Southgate to pick? So if we run through the whole squad in general.
I might just do my starting 11.
Go on, actually. Yeah, starting 11. Brilliant idea.
Formation, 5-2-3. I think it has to be. And also, Harry Maguire does not get on that plane. That's my other take. If all are fit, Reece James, right wing back. Oh, sorry, keeper first, actually. To be honest, I never really know this one. Pickford always turns up. I think Ramsdale's really good. Nick Pope, maybe not after his performance against Italy.
It's just he's not good enough for his feet to play. If you look at him as a keeper, he's very good saving, but in terms of his feet, he's not even the level of like any Premier League goalie. So I just wouldn't play him now. But I'd say if right now, if I didn't was looking at it just on form, I'd pick Ramsdale. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying. But Pickford always turns up.
It'll be Pickford.
But right wing back, Reece James. Right centre back, I can never remember. Oh, Kyle Walker. But again, probably not going to be fit. Middle centre back, Eric Dier. So if Kyle Walker isn't fit, John Stones. Middle centre back, Eric Dier. Left centre back, Fikayo Tomori. Who I never realised, apparently he's got a really good left foot.
And I think the FIFA statisticians might say that he's got a 4-star weak foot.
Does he actually?
He does, yes.
Oh, fine, okay.
Something for you Ultimate Team nerds to investigate. Maybe he's a centre-back for you, although it probably costs quite a few coins.
Yeah. Left wing back, this is, again, another one I'm never really that sure about. Chilwell's been injured for so long, but he's just miles clear of Luke Shaw. So I think it's going to have to be Ben Chilwell there. Two centre mids, Jude Bellingham, without a doubt, no question. Should be number one on the team sheet. Declan Rice, again, shouldn't be really a question mark over that. Shame Calvin Phillips isn't fit, because I thought he was really good at the Euros. Up top, Harry Kane, captain. Right wing, again, this is one which I just... Foden or Saka, who do you... Both have their merits, but I think, personally, Phil Foden. And then Raheem Sterling, left wing.
Jack?
I mean, I agree with most of that. I think I would have Stones in straight away at centre-back, and that would probably mean losing... Who did not die?
Eric Dier? Kyle Walker.
Walker. Might have pushed Walker out to that right wing. Right wing back, sorry. And then it's kind of that question of how defensive do you want your middle two to be? Because because I'm not sure I'd have Rice in straight away, but you could put Rice, Bellingham and Foden in the middle, and then
Foden.
He's still a midfielder, I think.
Wow, I like it. He's very progressive.
But and then it's just, I know Kane's captain and all that, but he doesn't perform for England.
Who are you starting?
Wow. Tammy Abraham. That's the question. I've been trying to figure out for so long. The problem is, there's no one else. There's no other.
I really wouldn't start Harry Kane.
I mean, that's the problem. I just think if we had a proper striker.
Striker.
I just don't rate
anyone
them.
Listening to this. Jack has zero ball knowledge.
No, I just.
Find me a proper striker who scores 180 odd goals in the Prem.
Yeah, but you look at him and has look at his performances for England.
Like when?
In the last. Okay, from the beginning of Euros onwards.
From the beginning of Euros. So he didn't score against Croatia. That was Sterling. And then we played
Scotland.
Didn't score. Who was the third?
Italy didn't score.
Wait. Let's do it in order.
Third game we had. Who did we have? Sterling scored again, didn't he?
Yeah. It was Sterling. It was 2-1 nils, maybe.
And then
something like that.
Germany 2-0.
Germany Harry Kane scored, didn't he?
I think it was.
It might be.
It was 3-3. I think Kane might have got a penalty. It was Mason Mount, and then Sterling or
no?
The one in the World Cup, not the Euros.
Euros. All right. So,
yeah. Did you see his penalty?
Yeah, but did you see his penalty when it mattered
Denmark?
In the Euros?
What, the one that he scored the rebound?
He
scored a goal.
It was still a penalty that Schmeichel should have been taking that. Like, if you look at it, watch it back, it's right in Schmeichel's kind of like take that in and hold on to it.
So aside from that Harry Kane debate, so would you be starting Phil Foden as a false nine? Would you be playing Tammy Abraham as Linus has suggested? Would you look for an alternative?
Ivan Tony?
I would bring Tony along, but I just can't see him in that kind of match day squads.
Tammy.
Tammy's kind of interchangeable, I think, with Kane. But it depends on what formation you're playing. You could go enough to say, like, actually, you just don't have... You have a kind of like a false nine, you just put Foden in. And then have Sterling and whatever left wing you want taking him.
My 11's going to be slightly outrageous in terms of... Again, I tried this formation in FIFA. And Jack can attest to this. I actually play 3-3-2-2. People who know me well will know that whenever I play FIFA, I do like to have Argentina, and I can just play 3-3-2-2. So I'd have Messi.
My guess.
Messi and...
I'm going to say Nicolas Otamendi, centre-back.
No, actually,
Christian Romero.
Romero, central centre back. Here,
on the right, on the left. Sorry.
Hang on. This is going to be it. So you got Emi in goal. This is my Argentina kickoff team, by the way. Acuna left centre back. We've got Christian Romero central centre back. I usually have Montiel right centre back. In my midfield, right DM I have Rodrigo De Paul. Left DM Lo Celso. My box-to-box is Papu Gomez.
Oh, he's a great player.
And my wide attacking mid on the right is Messi, obviously. On the left, I usually interchange between Julian Alvarez or at times, who else would I have in there? That's...
Di Maria?
Dybala, because I play Di Maria up front with either Lautaro or Angel Correa plays at that left attacking midfield position, and I usually have Di Maria and Lautaro up front, so that's my FIFA team. But that's
very interesting.
I'd model that with the current England side, but obviously I have more height at the back because you don't want the mean height of your defence. Shout out to my maths teacher for that statistic to be under 6 foot. So my 3-3-2-2 for England would
be. Close. How does this 3-3-2-2 work?
The idea is to dominate the central zones with your two in midfield and your two wide centre backs to be very capable of defending in wide areas, similar to an Erik ten Hag principle. By that logic, I would have John Stones as central centre back, bearing in mind everybody's fit. Kyle Walker at right centre back. On the left, I would probably have Luke Shaw.
Not Tomori.
Actually, Tomori is a better option. Thank you for reminding me of him. In terms of that right defensive midfielder / wide central midfielder zone, Reece James is perfect because he's played central midfield before, and that's where he started his career. In the middle, I do like to have a diminutive player. Phil Foden would fit that to a T. On the left, I'd have Jude Bellingham. I think that the idea with this formation is fluidity. Mm. And I think that that's something that, if we even look at schoolboy football, it does lack a bit from what I've seen. Because we have our positions and we set that very rigorous role that we impose on ourselves. But this team, in the two attacking zones I'd have just before we wrap up, Bukayo Saka, and then on the left, I'd probably go one of Mason Mount or Jadon Sancho. And then up front, I'd probably have Harry Kane and Raheem Sterling. So.
Interesting. Jadon Sancho shouldn't go to Qatar. Wow. Marcus Rashford should.
Wow.
I'd say Mount doesn't deserve to go.
No, he's a very good player. He gives you versatility as well.
We'll leave it.
We leave it at that. So thank you so much for coming on, guys. It's been episode 4 of the O Jogo Bonito podcast. And yeah, big thanks to Linus and Jack for coming on. And hope you enjoyed it today.
Well, thank you very much. It's an absolute pleasure. And sorry for my lateness.
It's all right. Take care, guys. Cheers, and we'll see you next week. Peace.